17 minutes to 9 o'clock on a Thursday morning. And as mentioned earlier in the show, we have yet another very special guest on the morning show this morning. His name is David Crissell. He is a landscaper and he is well known on the North Coast, but not limited to the North Coast. Great to have you with us today, Dave. Welcome to the morning show. Welcome to the studio. And you can see we're in a kind of garden setting, so you feel right at home.
Good morning, Dave. Thanks a lot for having me. Actually, I was going to mention looking out the garden, the window here over the garden. It's a nice spot to be.
It is. And I tell you something, there's quite a lot of wildlife in this nursery, funnily enough.
Can imagine.
Literally, in the morning, I'm here very early, and the mongooses are roaming free. In fact, they do quite a lot of exploring of the shopping center. It's fun. Monkeys, and then there's the feral cats that I'm friends with. Birds are here frequently, making a regular appearance. So it's a bit of a landscaping environment. You should feel very much more at home than you would if it was just an ordinary studio.
Must say, I'm quite satisfied with it. Thanks.
So you have moved into Springvale, and this is the reason that you're here today, because they're very proud of that. They reckon that you have done some magnificent work in some of the finest estates, and you continue this at your particular chosen spot. So tell us about that journey. How have you come to settle in Springvale?
Yeah, sure. I haven't quite moved in yet. We're still in the process of getting our final plans approved, which should be hopefully this week or in the next few days. And I was quite taken by Springvale initially, because it's got such a beautiful setting, a lovely sense of place. You know, the sunset over that little valley line is just quite sublime. And what I also liked about it is the relatively free sense of not being too strangled by too many rules, per se, and especially in the farm section, where you have a larger plot, which really appealed to me, especially since I like to plant a lot of things. And the large green belts, it's really just everything that speaks to a person like me, like a landscape architect that needs to be outdoors and have space. Yeah. And the sense of community there, nice people around, so it definitely ticks all my boxes.
What got you into landscaping?
I think it started very early in my life. My granddad used to have a farm in a game reserve, and we used to spend every waking minute there. And I remember my mom telling me my first word ever was boom, not mom or dad. So yeah, I think it was just in my blood from day one.
And how did you become a landscaper? Because I don't believe, well, there probably are courses that one can, I'm sure you'll tell me all about it, but it doesn't seem to be in terms of what the average school career is gearing one towards, or university career. You know, you've got the regular professionals, and then you've got the trades. And landscaping, I look at the celebrity landscapers and I look at beautiful, and I think, wow. But how did you become a landscaper?
It's an interesting question. I think there isn't specifically like school at all, and university, as I'm sure is most people's experience, it's not necessarily gearing you for your little clear-cut little groove that you're going to follow.
Yeah, I never once heard either at school or university that
now you know what's going to happen. No, never ever. But for me, I first started with architecture, and then did my honors and masters in landscape architecture. So I started at the University of Pretoria and did my undergrad there. Then you start with architects, interior architects and landscape architects together. And then after your third year degree level, then you split off into your, respective directions.
So it's as technical as that.
It was quite. There's obviously a lot of other courses as well that a landscaper could follow, or that you could do to become a landscaper or a landscape contractor. But it all depends on how you want to play it at the end of the day and how you make it work for yourself.
Yeah.
Any careers like that, really. Like even if you're a lawyer or something, so stringent, there's still a way for you to wiggle yourself in it and make it work for you.
So you have a very clearly you have a mind that works in interesting ways. You can apply yourself to the formal design and build technology in terms of landscaping of that nature, but your interest lies in the form and function of landscaping in a built environment, or possibly an extended environment.
Absolutely, yes. So coming from the design background in architecture and landscape architecture puts me in a unique position to you know, have the finer sort of balance of form, function, lines, you know, all the correct sort of design requirements. And these days I really pride myself in doing projects where it's like a turnkey situation, where it's design, build, installation, supply, everything start to finish. And I've partnered with a very wise older gentleman, Henny Wilkinson, and his company River Projects, and myself, Terra Vita Design, we pretty much work together on all our projects. So it starts with me meeting the clients, designing everything they need, getting all their sort of requirements and everything, and then carrying on straight through from, you know, then it's into procurement, the build on site, right up until the very end. So it's a lot of fun doing it this way.
And what are some of the more visible projects that we might have seen that you've been involved in?
I've worked quite extensively in all the estates around Ballito, and in some of them, and also in Durban North and in Mshlanga. So some prominent ones are Ilaleni Lifestyle. Also Zimbali Lakes. We're working there in a joint venture with some other parties as well. And then numerous private homes in the estates and around here. So, that's always very nice, because the clients tend to really go for some special things and getting some nicer things done.
And do you do the big installations as well?
Yes. So for the larger estates like Zimbali Lakes, we're doing everything from when you turn off the main road straight through the gatehouse, right down into the park spaces, common spaces, road verges, everything.
Were you involved in that traffic circle?
We planted those big fig trees there. Right. Yeah, we unfortunately had to prune them quite a bit to actually get them into place, because they weighed a lot.
It's astonishing that you could take mature trees, transplant them successfully, and they live. It must be. Where do you get your plant material from?
I'm actually glad you're mentioning the big trees, because that's really a big passion of mine, is to relocate these giant trees, because I think it's such a niche and very few people really do it. And there's a lot of little tricks and sort of things you can do to make it work well for yourself and to also ensure the survival of the trees. So those trees, I mean, most of them, we grow quite a lot of trees ourselves. There's two farms that we have stock on that we grow on. Otherwise, we'd literally go to a nice tree, find out who the owner is, go through the whole process of buying the tree, getting the permits in place if it's necessary, then getting the road permits.
Okay, so you could actually buy a mature tree from...
Yeah, I mean, if you've got a tree in your garden you want to cut down, we could rather come and move it and plant it somewhere else.
Much better option if
you
one can.
Save it, and then you build a new place. And it's so satisfying doing like an instant landscape like that. You start... yesterday it was just bare earth and a building half finished. Tomorrow there's five giant trees and it looks like a partial forest overnight.
Because this is the thing, you're buying essentially time.
For sure.
And if people say you can't buy time, actually, well, in your case,
you can. Yeah. You can win a few years.
Exactly, because, you know, unless you've got the... unless you've been on a property for 20, 30 years and planted from scratch, and then you've got mature trees.
Which is lovely and noble in itself, but if you want to just, you know, skip ahead a bit, that option's open to you.
Jump in the queue.
Yes.
Magnificent. Yeah. So getting back to Springvale.
Yeah.
We started with a description of the light in the valley, the sunset.
Yes.
Someone told me as well that there are interesting soils at Springvale. There's also quite a lot of rock. What are the challenges that you found planting in Springvale, and what do you have in mind for your particular piece of paradise?
Yeah, when it comes to the soil, Springvale's definitely interesting. We don't have the typical Berea red sort of sandy clay mix that we've got around the north coast. It's a much darker clay type soil, which is actually, you know, in terms of landscaping, it's pretty decent. It works well. It keeps nutrients back. It doesn't leach out very easily. Erosion is not such a big problem. You don't get these large slumping retaining wall or steep bank situations. And apart from being maybe sometimes a little bit drier or drying out a bit faster, it's actually a really good base to do landscaping on. Really good. Plants tend to really thrive if you water them and they establish after some time, and you can add a bit of organic matter into the soil. Wonderful. And then the rock there, actually really beautiful if you dig around a bit. It's a similar type of rock that comes out of the Mhlali quarry.
Oh.
It's very beautiful to use for landscaping. It's got sort of a flatter facet to it and then rounded off corners. So it works well if you stack them as a retaining wall or just like as basic features or landscape seating. So yeah, it's quite a nice opportunity to use. And it's always important to use things from the area to get that sense of place and, you know, have like something that's true to the area that you're in.
So you're not building rocks out of concrete and fiberglass?
Never. No, luckily that mostly died in the 90s. Yeah.
Very, very encouraging and lovely that that we on the North Coast, so to have such talent and such passion, because you have clearly a passion for what you do. Very rewarding. If you were to give advice to anyone wanting to plant on the North Coast a garden that was going to give them satisfaction, what are some of the plants that you might suggest would be a good idea, and what are some that maybe you shouldn't be looking at?
Okay, yeah, on the North Coast, we are very fortunate because we've got such a lovely climate. The only hampering factor we really have is wind and maybe salt spray. So depending on your location, if you're close to the beach or not, you can pretty much plant almost any indigenous tree unless it's something very arid, because the higher rainfall doesn't do too well. But no, a plant that's like an old faithful, there's a few. We could say the aloe barberae, or it's now actually called aloe dendron barberae, the tree aloe. Such a beautiful sculptural plant, and it accompanies any type of architecture so beautifully.
I always thought they were the Banesii. Yeah.
They used to be. They used to be called aloe Banesii. Yeah, well done. Well done for knowing that nice old term. We actually refer to them as Banesies if we talk quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a really beautiful thing, and they transplant quite easily. It's just a really quite a hassle to transport them because they also break easily. And then other than that, I would suggest coral trees. They're just so beautiful. Also easy to transplant. You can get a giant instant tree, and it attracts, like the one just outside the radio station here, attracts so many birds, really beautiful. And it's so iconic of Zululand and Natal, where we're in, you know. So that's also something that's quite special.
Just don't call that one by the old name, otherwise you will be drummed out of town.
We'll avoid that. And then in terms of planting in general, there's been this sort of tendency to be super purist and indigenous only.
Yeah.
And that's very noble. And I think, in my opinion, depending on where you are, like let's say you're now in a private reserve bordering Mkuzi Game Reserve or any of those type of settings, we've also done quite a few projects, you know, Game Lodge projects, etc. Then keeping it pure is very important. You want the local genetics, you want plants that are adapted to the area, because they won't be the typical landscape maintenance that you would get. So then 100% locally indigenous, keep it proper. But if you live in an urban environment, almost any green is good green, in my opinion. So, excuse me. So, if you're also interested in tropical plants or palm trees or anything that's really beautiful and tickles your fancy, if it's not invasive, I always advocate to plant it. You know, I'm very happy to plant any exotic plant as long as it's not invasive or has any other, you know, really poor features to it. But, what's more beautiful than a lovely tropical garden with these giant foliage plants around, colors, and we can really use them here by us because we've got the climate for it.
Well, there it is. And having chosen Springvale on the North Coast as your new home, I'm sure you're going to have lots of fun planting up a storm.
For sure.
Making things beautiful. We look forward to watching that journey and hopefully getting you back into the studio to chat, because I really enjoy chatting with you.
Likewise, Dave. Thanks. Yeah.
So thanks so much for joining me on The Morning Show. My very special guest, David Kreisel. He is a landscape artist, and I use that word with deliberate selection, because it is an art to take gorgeous living sculptures and make them shine. There it is. David, thanks again, and I look forward to continuing the conversation shortly. And the morning